Well, hello everyone. I trust that you are having a great day in Christ. One of the things I love about our union with Jesus and our participation in the life that he lives is that Jesus doesn't have bad days. What I don't mean by that is that there aren't days filled with warfare and situations and weird things happen and people act in strange ways, but Jesus doesn't do bad moods. He doesn't have a moody day. He doesn't do bad attitudes. So even when, and especially when, there are, quote, evil days, as Ephesians 6 refers to, that Jesus is still the same. And the fruit of the Spirit is still the same. The fruit of his life in us is still the same. So I trust that regardless of how the circumstances or that have been in your day, or the behavior of the people so far in your day, that you're having a great day in Christ. I want to talk to you about something that really blesses me, and I think it'll be an encouragement to you. One of the things I want to do first is remind you that we're at a conference called Glorious Freedom, What the World Needs Now. I would just encourage you to go to Aslan Roars, A-S-L-A-N, like in the Chronicles of Narnia, R-O-A-R-S, aslanroars.org, and you can go and listen to that conference on glorious freedom. Doesn't cost you anything. We're not going to get your email address and start asking you for money or contacting you, that kind of thing that we freely have received, and so we freely give. And so, but I believe if you'll go back and you'll listen to those sessions, I believe God will change your life. I really do. And I don't mean that flippantly. I really honestly believe that God will change your life. And so I just encourage you to take advantage of that. I want to show you something that really ministers to me and blesses me from John 15. Now, the narrative kind of starts in chapter 14. So let me read a couple of verses to you. It says in verse 21 of chapter 14, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me." Okay? "And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and disclose myself to him." Now, again, that's interesting, isn't it? "He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me shall be loved by my Father." In verse 23 of chapter 14, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." Now in chapter 15. In chapter 15, verse 9. "Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." Now, when Jesus says that if we keep his commandments, that he says, if he who keeps my commandments, he who loves me keeps my commandments, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. Let me read it again. Sorry. "He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father. And I will disclose myself to him." Again, "He who loves me is he who will keep my words, and my Father will love him. We will come to him and make our abode with him." Now that sounds like, I mean, it sounds pretty clear. It sounds like that if you love him, that sort of ignites the Father to love you. And then Jesus will disclose himself to you. That the Father will love you in response to the fact that you love him first. And then that verse 23 of chapter 14, that if you keep his commandments, the Father will love you, and that the Father and Jesus will make their abode with you. But that can't be saying what it seems to be saying. And again, the contradictions in chapter 15, that it's because you love him by obedience that causes the Father to love you. That can't be true, because look what it says again in chapter 15 in verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So did the Father not love Jesus until Jesus kept the commandments? No, that can't be saying that. That can't be saying that. Therefore, it can't be saying that the Father loves you, starts to love you, because you keep his commandments. He said, just as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you, abide in my love. How much does the Father love Jesus? Well, that's how much Jesus loves you. Earlier in chapter 15, he says, if you abide in me and I abide in you. Well, here in verse 9, he says, abide in my love. He says, let me read it again, verse 9. But just as the Father's loved me, I've loved you. Now abide in that love. Again, if you keep my commandments, you abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. What it's saying is this. When we love him and express that love by keeping his commandments, then we get to participate in abiding in his love. It doesn't cause him to love us, but it causes us to live in a consciousness of shared love between us and God. You with me? When you're living a life of keeping his commandments out of love, and you're experiencing his love for you, there is this consciousness of shared love. And then he says that he and the Father will make their abode in you. It's in that relationship of your loving him and you're living in the consciousness of his loving you. It's in that context that you get to experience, become conscious of his abiding presence and the manifestation of his presence and love in your life. In other words, there have been times in my life, well, let me put it this way, and I think that you would be aware of this in your own life. Those times in your life when you are living, that you are living in a stream of loving him and expressing that love by living a life of surrender, living a life of obedience, and you're doing that out of love, I can guarantee that you in those times have experienced a consciousness that of just loving him and him loving you. Doesn't make him love you, but it does open you up to a consciousness of shared love. If there's something powerful about that. And my life, when I walk in uninterrupted obedience. Now, it doesn't mean that when I disobey, God doesn't love me. He still loves me. He loves me the same. Jesus loves me the same way the Father loves him. It's unconditional. It's eternal, period. But when I live this, when I'm walking in the flow of obedience, the flow of surrender, I do have this consciousness of shared love that we're just enjoying each other. Just mutually submitting to each other. I'm submitting to him, surrendering to him, and he's surrendering his life in me to me. Not to me to obey me, but he's surrendering, manifesting his life in me, surrendering all that he is into my experience. And there's just this shared love. And not just that, there's a shared joy. There's nothing like being in a love relationship where there's not weirdness and conflict going on, but there's just mutual submission and surrender to each other's love and heart for each other, that you just, your desire is to bless him with your surrender, and his, their desire is to bless you with in every way they can. And so there's nothing more joyful than that. That's what he's saying. He's saying to abide in his love involves not just singing and worshiping and having affection for him. Of course, that's a manifestation of that. But it's fueled your consciousness of that kind of relationship, your consciousness of his love for you, your consciousness of how your love for him, your consciousness of shared love and shared joy in that love relationship is a result of living a life of surrender. Because that's what love does. Love surrenders all to each other. And there's something about abiding in his love that brings such great joy. As a matter of fact, he says, and you will have my joy, and my joy will make your joy full. The joy that he has for our mutual love for each other, for me loving him in my surrender and obedience, the love that he has for me, and the fact that he's aware that I'm conscious of his love for me. It's not just that I know theologically, but my obedience has postured me just to experience this intermingled shared love. It brings him great joy that I find that I'm knowing and conscious of how much he loves me in this place of walking in surrender and obedience. It brings him great joy, and that joy fills us and makes our joy full. Well, I hope that makes sense for you. It's really quite simple. Obedience isn't about duty. It's about delight. And when we delight in obeying him because of love, it causes us to abide in the reality of how much he loves us. There is just this awakening of our consciousness of his love for us. Doesn't make him love us. It just opens the door to our consciousness of his great love for us, and then the joy that he has in our enjoying his loving us fills us and fills our joy, makes it complete. Okay? And I just want to tell you that I love you, even those of you who watch and I have never seen and don't know. I share the affections of Christ for you. And my prayer above everything else is that you will have a breakthrough in understanding the wonders, the endless wonders of what it means to abide in the life that Jesus lives, to abide in him, allowing Jesus Christ himself to live his life without restriction, without measure, to live his life through you daily in everything that you do, in every relationship that you have, in every situation that you face. Well, God bless you. Have a great rest of the day.